Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name's Adam Lavaz. Thanks for joining us for episode 39. And it really is back to reality, Rick, after DigiCon on the weekend. And I actually feel, doing the podcast, so I'm a little bit lonely. It's just you and I after having so many wonderful people on last week that it's a little bit different, just you and I.
It is. We're kind of back to normal. And look, we talked about it a lot, didn't we? We got out of our comfort zone and we did it. And it's nice to be... I think the thing that I'm feeling good about is that we're following up really quickly with another podcast because although we've got new topics tonight, we've still got that sort of glow, that buzz from DigiCon. It's kind of revitalised any parts of our... feelings in the job that maybe were a bit down on power, yeah. So to speak.
And that's right, we were talking about that before the podcast, about how many times through the year do you struggle at work, don't you? You're really struggling, you're snowed under, there's admin stuff, there's all this stuff going on, and you find it hard. It's really, you struggle to go to school, it's really tough. And then going along to something like this, just it's like the Duracell bunny to me. Like, it lifts you, recharges the batteries, and you're fired up to go back to school on Monday.
You absolutely are, and we'll touch a little bit more on DigiCon in our outro today.
Yes,
I really wanted to use this intro, Adam, to have a big rant. Can I do it? I don't normally do it.
You can, and I know it's about. We spoke about it last term about your laptop, and I actually don't know. I've actually asked not to know what's happened since then, so this is fresh for me too.
I'm gonna have a rant, and I'm gonna go hard. I don't mind what I say here. Now we know that the AEU at the moment is still in the throes of the federal court about actually paying for these laptops. So I just wanted to keep that in the back of your mind, all right? I was due for the new. Oh, and also those people who take their own in and all that sort of stuff. Okay, you know, I know I can do that, but like, I'm not going to do that. Okay, I don't want to take my personal
laptop.
Shouldn't have to. Okay, so. Second last week of term two, I was due, like, for my new one after 3 years. Then the old one, which we're still using as part of our podcast tonight, is on its last legs. Mm. There was a fault with it, straight up, with my new one.
Yep. What was that fault, by the way?
It was saying that the USB port was overloading with power or something, and I hadn't put anything in the USB port, so some sort of fault. Now, the tech at school said to me, when I finally was able to log the job, said that he has to liaise with Acer. The plan is that he has to... liaise with Acer. So he did, and they said re-image the machine,
yep,
and or try this other troubleshooting thing, or go to this site.
Yep.
So the people who made the new laptop are saying, yeah, go to this troubleshooting site. Now, hang on, this is a brand new laptop. Yep. This is a brand new laptop. Yep. So that was one thing, okay. Yep. And then obviously I was going on leave, school holidays. Yep. So I said, look, I don't need it for the holidays. Yep. Sort it out. I get back after my leave last week, and I had the laptop back. Fantastic. Adam, I timed it the other night when it was booting. 5.5 minutes to boot.
No.
And that was the third time.
Brand new laptop.
Now, not the first time. I know sometimes they can take a while. By the third boot, 5.5 minutes.
Jeez.
Brought it home the other night. That same message came up about the USB port, even though it was claimed that it was fixed. Now, Adam.
Pathetic.
It's been 6 weeks, Adam. I am angry about this.
Yep.
And the reason why I brought up the AEU thing at the start is because look at this system, honestly.
Yeah.
And if the system is that our techs, who are kind of scrabbling a little bit to make ends meet with fixing some jobs, have to just contact the company.
Mm.
So I wrote a pretty angry thing and said, I just want a new one.
Yeah.
And then I asked, do I have permission to smash this one to bits?
Well, why wouldn't you? Smash the USB port, pull it out and just have it. It boggles my mind. Acer, almost their response to you was washing their hands. I'll re-image it or check this out, otherwise leave us alone. Yeah. We don't want to know about it.
And that kind of made me really angry. I kind of thought that was a really poor excuse when you're paying for a brand new machine. Mm. Now, yes, I know it's an Acer. I could go to Mac. I'm not going to go over why I don't get the Mac. I've got my own Mac. I don't want to pay the extra that we have to pay. And Mac, we know. I'm at a school that uses EduStar. We know that Mac, some techs have problems putting Macs into EduStar. Mm. And all the software doesn't always work properly.
And not only that, you get an old Mac. It's an out-of-date Mac. It's not as if you're getting the brand new Mac Air or MacBook Pro. You're getting an old model and you're paying extra. Yeah. Why you'd want to do that, don't know.
And look, with all due respect to the techs at the school, they're sorting the issue now, but Adam, I kind of had to go hard and get a bit, like, shirty for this to actually get fixed. And I think, you shouldn't have to be putting up with that.
Was the email very much like back at uni where we were about to finish up and you got an email about a missing assignment that wasn't there? And I still remember that very clearly where I tell you what, if shirty is the word, you got very shirty that afternoon. We were actually going to go away. It was the end of uni, we'd finish, we were, going to graduate. And Rick got an email. Was it an email or a call? It was a call to say, we haven't got an essay that you'd handed in. And you went absolutely bananas. So was it very much like that?
It was a little bit like that, yeah. And look, and the final, it was, yeah. And let's not go into what I wrote in that email. But just to finish off, Adam, I'm going to say this. Shame on you, department, for your laptop leasing program, because it's rubbish and it's always going to be rubbish.
So our first topic for tonight, Rick, and tough to follow the intro, I might add, is we're actually looking at male teachers, which is obviously what you and I are, and their role within the school and the importance of actually being a role model. Now, it's important for all teachers. I think the modern teacher puts on many faces. We're not just teachers anymore and teaching them. We're doctors and we're fathers and we're mothers and we're nurses and we're all those sorts of things as well. But we came across an article that talked about the importance of the male role within the school.
And look, we know, Adam, it's phenomenally important, and you've set it up well. And I'm going to relate it to an article that we discovered from actually a couple of years ago from a website called The Innovation Teacher. And it's about male teachers, but it takes the angle of male teachers sharing more with their students. Mm. Talking about, and the article mentions in the intro, talking about your wife, if you have one, and your children, if you have them. And if you don't, it also mentions talk about your life, though, and your childhood. And sometimes I think maybe in some schools, and I can't speak for secondary schools so much here, but in some schools, maybe even like yours, that doesn't have too many males, and I'm not saying this happens at your school, but sometimes the male is kind of, it's an underlying thing, people don't say it, but there's a certain role that the male teacher has to play, whether it's the jovial, sporty type, and sometimes it doesn't seem like the right thing to do for the male teacher to be talking about maybe that softer side of them. Mm. Now, I can tell you that I do talk about that side of me, Adam, because that's the kind of person I am.
And I agree, and I'm the same, and I'm happy to say that I've got my 1-2 students regularly ask me, you know, how's Sienna going? Can we see a picture of Sienna? Obviously, which is my daughter. And I've actually, you know, the kids have seen a few pictures of Mel and they'll go, oh, isn't Mel pretty? And that sort of stuff, you know, and do those things. But it gives you a human side that there are kids who don't have that positive role model there that you can show them what it means to be a positive role model and the way that they can live their life.
People say some students need a male role model at school because they might not have one at home, and I completely agree with that. But it's more than just being present. It's about sharing. And I think the article mentions that if your own childhood was less than perfect, give the kids some perspective on what kind of, you know, on what you learnt from some tough times in your childhood. And, you know, I don't talk about all the glossy, I don't gloss over the stories. I've told kids things where you fail. And like you said, you share pictures of your daughter with them. And I think it's so important for us to share things that, to show that we are, that we think about things and we think deeply. Because I really don't think you can be a teacher without being a deep thinker, Adam.
I totally agree. And I really love the angle and what you brought up there about talking to the kids about failing and that it's okay to fail and that things don't always go well. And I hope you don't mind me going off on a tangent here, but with my 5-6s for many years, I always bring up the story about when I finished primary school and went to high school. My first semester of high school was awful in the fact that I was lazy, I didn't do my work, I didn't do things, and my parents smashed me for it. I got E's and D's. I should never have gotten those sorts of marks. And I would tell my grade 6 students in particular, and they would sort of snigger a bit, and I'd say, no, I'm not bringing this up for a laugh, I'm bringing this up to show that I failed, and it was because I didn't put the hard work in. And you shouldn't go to high school thinking that it's all just going to fall into place for you. You've still got to put your head down and your bum up and work hard and not make some of the mistakes that I made, because I'm happy to admit I made a lot of mistakes. I would have been a pain in the backside for some of my teachers, but I can actually look back at that now and share that with the students and say, learn from what I did. Don't make some of these mistakes that I did.
Yeah, and I think, look, some people like to keep their personal life separate from work, and particularly teachers, and I do in some other facets, and I completely understand that. But I just think this is such a personal job, and I truly believe that people who are in the teaching profession need to share themselves. And I think your message you just said then is really important, and I think that sits nicely next to the message that we need to share ourselves. Don't be afraid of talking about your family life, you know. And I talk about my wife constantly. It's a normal conversation. Mm. So you don't get that funny reaction from the students where they go, oh, he's married, or oh, he's got a girlfriend. Or, because they do that if you don't talk about it, because they think teachers are not normal human beings.
No, they think we sleep under our desk at night. Yeah, we don't actually go home. You know that old chestnut of seeing you in Safeway and, Mr. KT, they yell across. They do the double take. They can't believe you're there.
That's right. And I know that the strength of relationships that I have in my classroom is down to the fact that I share that with the kids. And I know it wouldn't be as strong if I didn't do that. Mm. So we know there's a lot of male teachers who follow us on the podcast, and there's a lot who follow us both on Twitter. We'd love to hear maybe some of your reflections, some of your anecdotes, some of your stories about time as a male teacher. And look, we're not dissing what the female teacher can offer, because the female teacher that talks about their life in general is going to be just as important a role model. But we're just coming at it from a male perspective, because we know they're lacking in Victorian schools.
We do, and we don't. There's not enough, and there's always a small amount. And actually, I think, Rick, for you and I'd actually like to throw out a challenge to any male teachers out there who are listening. you know, if it's not something you do, go out there and do it. I think you'll actually find that the kids really enjoy it and they really respond to it, and they want to ask questions, they want to know about you, and it brings out that human side. And I think particularly male teachers who there aren't a lot in a school, you know, this is like, can be put out on an island a bit and treated differently and approached differently and looked at differently, because, you know, males obviously do things differently to females, neither's right or wrong, but can be looked at differently. Challenge yourself, go out there, you know, share some things with the kids. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, does it? But yeah, really get in there and become involved in their lives and show them that human side.
And I think also break down that kind of stereotype of like the male being sort of that that macho teacher. Those days are well and truly gone. Okay, Adam, our second topic tonight is something we have talked about before, emails.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, I want to go down a slightly different track, and I want to touch on the fact how emails are checked probably more often these days than ever before in the history of the invention, probably due to the fact of smartphones and being able to sync your email account with smartphones. So you've kind of got them on you the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't need to boot a computer to check them. And a really interesting article that I know got both of us thinking from the business section of The Age, about a week or so ago, and the title was Why You Should Never Check Email on Sunday Evening. Now, this applies, the article wasn't written about teachers, but this applies to all professions, but particularly to us, I think, particularly when you may have parent contact on email and things like that. The Sunday night sabotage. Yeah. Checking email before you go to bed can absolutely make the beginning of your week horrible. You can go to bed distracted, stressed, but it's amazing some of us can't not do it though.
Yeah, and whoever our listeners out there will be sitting there right now going, yep, I'm one of those. It gets to 7:30 on a Sunday night and I'm in teacher mode and I've got to check it. And I'm happy to admit, there's been times over my teaching career where I've checked it on a Sunday night and got an email with a reminder about this or no, we need to be doing that or something like that. And it ruins my night. And you go, oh, geez, and you sort of go to bed and you think about it and you do those things and it really puts you offside. And what this article was saying is don't do it. Go, no, I'll check my emails in the morning. I'm going to go to bed with a clear conscience and a clear mind and get a good night's sleep. And checking it doesn't help.
And there's no law, in I don't think in any business, that says that you should be checking it out of hours anyway. And I know that I know our school has discussed it before about putting a block on your time, making a time on weeknights, which was great by our leadership ones. They said put a marker on your time and say, I'm not going to check it after this. Now, if someone sends me an email after that time, that's fine. I don't mind if they're emailing, but I'm not going to check it.
No.
But I've been guilty of it, Adam. I remember I have some parent contact on email, which is fine. I know many teachers do. There's been one time during my career when I just got sucked in and checked my email just before I fell asleep one night, and there was a rather, you know, stressful email for me from a parent, and it just destroyed my next 24 hours.
Yeah.
Had trouble sleeping. And another one, which I know we talked about off-air briefly, was checking email in the morning. Mm. That's a different one. Some people like to catch up on email over breakfast.
Yep.
Now, that can be fraught with danger too, can't it?
Absolutely, because, well, it can ruin your breakfast, mate. But it's one of those things where you get up in the morning and you have a shower, you get yourself ready, you do what you need to, you have a bit of breakfast, you know, obviously you have a chat to Ant, have a chat to Mel, my wife, and stuff, and I don't want to sit there at the table and check an email, because, again, you could get another shocker, and you just drive in, and you're already out of the frame of mind that you should be. You should be going in clear, right, what am I teaching, what am I doing, and not thinking about this email you've gotten. And I'm happy to admit, I don't check it at home when I'm at home. I never do that in the mornings. But what's the first thing I do when I get to school is go in, laptop goes open, Outlook comes up, and I'm checking an email. Yeah. And I probably shouldn't do it.
No, I mean, sometimes it can take over a morning, can't it?
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, the really key stuff you should be doing, like whether it's planning or getting your resources ready or just thinking about something else more interesting, can get hooked up by email. And I also think checking in the morning, if you're an email checker during breakfast, to me, you're working then.
Yeah.
And that I've tried to get away from that, whether it's putting on some music or watching the news or even just talking.
Yeah,
just
that's right, yeah.
Because I think it can take over your whole life. So, look, the article actually suggests some times when maybe you should check email.
Mm.
I don't know if there is, or just it does talk about setting parameters, and I think that is just a good piece of advice on its own.
So, I think so too. And going on with that, with the checking times, do you think that there is today an over-reliance on email? Do you think that things are sent out and things that, oh, you should have checked your emails? Well, no, what happened to the communication aspect of it? What happened to, you know, you sent this out 2 weeks ago saying this, this, and this. why the day before, if this is so important to you, why don't you pop over and go, oh, we've just got that tomorrow, make sure we meet here, or make sure we do that, and actually converse with that, because I'm sorry, there's so much going on, I can't remember everything off an email. That's not the way it should be.
And I think is that email, this is what I'm going to say, email has become a to-do list for people. It's become, that's the job list to tick off.
Mm.
Well, no, I don't think it should be. Your to-do list is work.
Yep. Yep.
And leading on from what you just said, recently I had a member of this school staff come down while I was teaching with a message to say, the office have told you to check your email.
Mm.
Now, I don't mind saying that on the podcast because I won't name people, obviously, but I thought, hang on, I'm teaching right now.
Mm.
Is it that urgent? Of course, I will check my email on one of my breaks to see whether there's anything important. Yeah, that really threw me that, and I thought, this whole email topic is ongoing.
Yeah.
We once talked about email being archaic and on the way out.
Yeah.
It is not.
No, it's not. But what's the most important thing you're doing as a teacher during the day?
It's with the kids.
With the kids and you're teaching. It is not... Sorry, kids. I know we've got a really good maths lesson going on, but if you just want to stop there, I've just got to check my emails. Mm. It would never happen. And imagine a prince standing over there watching you do that going, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing that. I'll check the emails when my kids are outside or that sort of stuff. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, I'm professional. I don't need reminders to check my emails because I do check them.
No, who does?
Yeah, exactly. So there's lots more dot points on the article. Go and have a look and see whether there's anything in the tips they give that might suit you.
Yep.
And we'd love to hear from you if you've got any kind of crazy email checking stories.
And if you do have those stories, please email us.
Oh, and there's one more. Yeah, go and listen to Scott Duncan from last week's podcast. He talks about a crazy part of the world where he still checked his work email. And Scott, I'm sure you won't mind us sharing that again.
So, Rick, we wanted to use the final topic tonight as a little bit of a reflection about our time at Digicon. Obviously, you were able to spend both days there, and I was fortunate enough to come up on the Saturday. The reflection also linked in with an article that we found that we both enjoyed about why educators can't live without social media. And as you and I would both agree, readily agree, and as our listeners who were there would readily agree, social media, in particular Twitter, plays a huge role at a conference like Digicon.
It sure does. And the heading of the article I thought was a bit misleading because it said, as you said, why educators can't live without social media. And I thought when I read that heading that it was going to be something about educators maybe being on there too much. But it's not. It's actually saying, the article talks about how being on social media and modelling it to students actually is what it is all about.
Yep.
And a quote down the bottom, halfway through the article, educators are role models in the digital space. Yeah. And I think that is what, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I think we need to be modeling behavior on social media. Interesting that I want to touch on Twitter. You mentioned it before. Towards the end of Digicon, Andrew Williamson and I were having a talk about social media platforms. And he said that coming to the end of the conference and at this stage of his career, he said, I kind of feel like Twitter is still the one for educators, or for him. Mm. Him and I and yourself have spent a lot of time on Google Plus in the last year or two with the projects we've done. We'll really like a lot of Google Plus, but I still think I get the most out of Twitter.
Well, you know why it is, because it's so much easier to connect with people. Plus, it's that 140 characters. Whatever I want to say and what I want to share has to be done quickly, and you can put a little link in there and I don't have to sift through a lot of stuff. And I think that's why as well I love reading stuff that people have to say on Twitter, and I follow a variety of people, whereas with the blogs, I read a blog but I skim it a bit more, and I don't have the time, particularly with a new baby, I don't have the time. But for to read things on Twitter and quotes and things, I go, oh, that's a ripper, I'll check that out or something like that. It's such an easier way to connect with those around us.
Yeah, well, the tweets can give you a hint. And you can say, favorite the tweet. If it's got a blog link, you can save it for later when you've got more time
Absolutely.
To read. You're right. So getting back to the article and what it talks about, I think we kind of have no excuse. I think Corey Barclay mentioned it in his keynote when he said one of his big bits of advice to people, certainly who are new to the conference and new to digital tech and everything, is just get online.
Mm.
Just have a go. Mm. Dip your toes in, because the kids are going to be online. We know that. We've said this. How many times have we said this? The kids are online. Yep. I think don't be afraid to jump in and have a go. And I think there's kind of no excuse for it. Now, I work with some great teachers, and one particular who's a good friend who I know is not big on it and doesn't really believe in it. Mm. And this person is a fantastic teacher, and they always will be. But I kind of think that we are making the education for our students better if we have some kind of immersion in this in social media.
I agree, and I want to come back to you talking about dipping the toes in, because I think that can be the hardest one. I think that the best way for teachers who are struggling to learn about it is to go to the kids. Go to the kids in your class and go, hey, look, I actually want to get on Twitter and start doing these things. How do I use it? What do I got to do? If you were to put a laptop in front of those students, they go, well, sit down, Mr. Lavaz. I'll show you what's going on. And you can actually learn from your students. And what a great opportunity for your students to become the teacher and for you to become the student and watch them show you and do all that sort of stuff. There's no better way. What a great way to connect with your students.
Yeah, I wonder, look, one thing that stood out for me at DigiCon was some of the secondary teachers that I spoke to.
Mm.
And I also spoke to a couple of pre-service teachers, and they were talking about, we were talking about social media. And I think they asked, one pre-service teacher asked me, what angle is your podcast coming from? Are you talking about, is it from a primary perspective? And my answer was that it kind of is,
yes.
Obviously, because we're both primary teachers. And it made me think, yeah, see, I would like to know more about what kind of social media is happening in a lot of the secondary schools in this state in terms of the use.
Mm-hmm.
So any of our secondary teacher listeners, could you share it with us? Because I'm just wondering, because I know a lot of primary teachers like ourselves who are dipping into social media, who are on Twitter for their own professional development, who do have Edmodo like myself, who have got a Twitter handle for their class, you know, and tweet what they're doing in class. Have a Google Plus page. So is it happening once, and I heard from Conan Robinson once his son Kalani went to high school, a lot of the passion that he had for what he was learning has gone because the secondary environment's just not doing it for him. So I'd like to hear more.
I would too. And I think our message to everyone, and the thing that we got out of DigiCon, wasn't it, and it relates to this, is to take a risk. And we took a risk. If you don't use social media and you're kind of umming and ahhing about it, and you can see your students are talking about it or using it, just go. Look, I'll focus on one thing. I'll focus on Twitter. I'll focus on Google+, and just go and sit down with it. There are great resources out there, YouTube videos. There's articles that can teach you this is the way to use it and this is the way to connect. And that's the one thing, isn't it, mate, that we really got out of DigiCon, was to take that risk and to freshen up your teaching and to keep things moving and keep the kids motivated. And there's no better way than social media.
And social media is what you make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's whatever you get out of it. We'd love to hear. Look, we've touched on all sorts of things there. We'd like to hear your feedback on anything we've talked about there. All right, Lavaz, it's your anecdote. Over to you.
Now, I had the pleasure today of taking my 1-2 students on a excursion to Science Works. Now, Science Works, for every Victorian teacher out there, probably is a place that I think everyone has been to for an excursion over the years. And tonight's anecdote, I actually wanted to talk about Science Works as a whole and any stories that you've got and thoughts about your excursion there. Because we went today and it was a different experience for me going with the 1-2s because they were so engaged. Everything was brand new. Everything was interesting. Where I've been with 5-6s and they couldn't give a, you know, they kind of enjoy it, but they kind of don't, because we've been 4 times already, you know, because you go so many times and stuff. How many times have you been to Science Works over the years, mate?
Oh, mate, I think I've only been once.
Really? You've only been once?
With 3-4s, though.
Yeah. And how was that experience for you?
I can remember it was a really cold day. I know that's kind of not what the path we're going down, but it was freezing. And I remember sitting out in some sort of outdoor theaterette with concrete steps going down.
Yep.
And it was just blowing a gale through there. Horrible place to have lunch. Yeah. We had to sit out there and have lunch.
Now, I'm glad you segued into that, because I find the hardest thing about Science Works is the lunch, because there's kids everywhere. They're flying everywhere. There's that outdoor area. And I've had a couple of things happen in that outdoor area that I promised myself, and they didn't happen today, which is really good. One of them is there's a huge big grass area. Now, when the kids are having lunch, you know what kids like? They eat it quick, and they've got nothing to do. You know, you kind of got half an hour before your next one. So I brought along a little footy. You know, you beauty, kick it around and stuff. So I've got the footy, we're playing a bit of markers up, and I've gone the big torp. Now, the torp has gone a little bit too far with the wind, and the kids are running back, smack from another school, absolutely smashed him in two. So,
can I ask, where were you kicking the footy? There's not on those concrete steps.
No, there's a grass area out there, not on that concrete amphitheatre, but there's this big grass area. The other one was that I've actually had a kid have their lunch taken by a seagull. So sitting out there sort of in that area and sitting there just enjoying it, the seagulls roof, 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 flying in, taking the wrap. I was down $8 because I had to go and buy some more lunch from the cafe. You know?
You're a nice guy.
I am a good teacher. But I really enjoy Science Works, and I actually end up being like a little kid. And I don't know what anyone else, our listeners, have been there and what you've done, but I love the sports section. The sports section's kind of got the netball, and the kids think you're the greatest man in the world. I'm shooting hoops from distance and, you know, kind of got the strut going on, you know, and or there's the one where you got got to throw the ball really fast, or you know, take on Cathy Freeman in the running and that sort of stuff. And
people who know you well know that that same old white line fever, competitive spirit would have come out.
Yeah, can't help it. You know, we're ready, set, go, and I'm pushing that kid over so I can run through with the arms up, you know, that big sort of stuff. But I'm actually really surprised that you've only been to ScienceWorks once.
The day we went, I know we were booked into, I think it was the planetarium.
Yes,
And then I remember we were booked into some other sections, and we thought, well, I thought that all the other sections were little activities you'd go to where there'd be like a guide.
Right, yeah.
But then I remember we showed up and they said, right, you're allowed in that section, just have a walk around. Mm. And we had about an hour and a half, and I thought, this is going to take shorter time than that.
Yep.
And the kids, I remember, they just took off.
Yep.
Bedlam. They were everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like ants. And we had to try and find them. And there's those mirrors everywhere. And I'm like, I'm seeing kid doubles. And I'm like,
And that's the hardest thing.
Actually, you know, the only thing that was missing?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Benny Hill music.
I could see you actually run around and go, right, where's that one? I saw him before. And that sort of stuff. And it is, when you're trying to, that's the hardest part. When you're trying to get them all back together to go home, you got to go and find them in this huge area, and that one you go and wait over there, and you go and get some more, and then the ones you got to wait over there have gone. They've gone somewhere else. So anyway, mate, I'm really surprised I haven't been to ScienceWorks a lot. But my one two's I've got up in once a year almost to ScienceWorks, but my kids got a lot out of it. They really actually enjoyed it. We had a special presentation about gravity, and because we're looking at how things move, and they were just blown away to sit there as a teacher and watch them just be so engaged and watching and inquisitive, and things was just wonderful. So.
And great to hear you're enjoying it, and getting back to our first topic with the male, you know, they would have seen you enjoying it, which hence I think increases their enjoyment
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've been to ScienceWorks and you've got any ripping stories about not going to prep in two, having some lunch taken, and your visit to the planetarium, then we'd love to hear it via email, I might add. So Rick, that brings an end to episode 39, and I know next week, mate, you've got camp.
On a week-long camp, Adam, Monday to Friday, up in Mansfield, northern Victoria, and doing some skiing at Mount Buller. So we won't be able to do our regular podcast, but we're very much hoping to do some sort of camp-related, even if it's a Skype hookup episode. So stay tuned, listeners. We've got some plans in the pipeline.
Something's in the works. And I know tonight you wanted to finish with a really good quote too, Rick, from DigiCon.
Well, Corey Barclay said last week on our podcast that maybe we're the ones that shouldn't be there at DigiCon, and I do agree with him. But at the same time, I've been reflecting and I've been thinking, but sometimes if no one else is going to do it, Adam, if no one else on staff are interested in going, then sometimes we have moments where we're bogged down in the job and we all go through it. Yeah, admin's doing your head in, and sometimes we need a bit of revitalization. And if we can still make a difference to our kids in our classroom, even when no one else is, then I'm all for it. So I really hope to still get to play things like DigiCon. So thanks again for them for having us, and thank you again for the people who have replied saying they've listened to last week's episode.
So from me, Adam Lavaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.